Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord.
God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou. Blot out my transgressions now. Wash me. Make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. The song taken from David's Confession in Psalm 51. Reading from Romans chapter 7, the first 14 verses. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Let's give thanks for what is described here, Paul's own experience, and being called while dead in sin, alive in a self-righteousness, and then dying, and then, as they said in the early part of the chapter, married to Christ. Let's give thanks for that great, great, great blessing. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been done. We give thanks that Thou hast so loved the world that Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to see, Father, that in that love, we not only will not perish, but have the forgiveness of sins, and be married to Christ, be joint heirs with Him, children of Thee, that we can say, Abba, Father. Help us to see all these things that are taught in Scripture, taught by both precept and teaching, and also by the example. And as we see the examples given here of the woman and the husband, and of Paul himself with Thee and with the law, help us to have understanding. Give us Thy Spirit, so we will see and know Thy kingdom, of which Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot see that kingdom. And except we be born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom. And help us to see the great difference between the earthly kingdom and Thy kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. And we pray that we may come, if we have been in church all of our life, that we may come from the oldness of the letter to the newness of the Spirit, taking the things of Christ and showing them to us. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have that others do not have. We think of storms raging and have raged, hurricanes and fires and earthquakes, wind, all these calamities that have been there, and we give thanks for the blessings that we have had, that we haven't suffered as others have. We pray also that we might be, soon as a nation, healed from the virus that is there. We pray for other needs of the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for the broken homes and the children in them. We pray that Thou wilt teach the church, that it will teach what Thou hast joined together. Let not man put asunder. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. We look at this once again. Paul begins the chapter with, Know ye not? He is speaking to the church. He is speaking, as he says twice here, Brethren, in the first verse, and then again in the fourth verse, Wherefore, my brethren, describing the experience that they had, that was described earlier, in the sixth chapter, when he says in the fourth verse, My brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Here we have the wonderful experience of coming to conversion, coming to salvation, coming to have Christ as being married. In the earlier part of the sixth chapter, we read, Know ye not, as so many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There are many different ways in which salvation and the new birth are described. The new birth itself by being born again, the way of repentance, the way of faith, all of these ways that are spoken of in Scripture, and here he speaks of it as dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. A little bit later, in the sixth verse, he describes the difference of the fruit in one way or another when he says that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What a difference there is in fruit that is only on the outside, washing the outside of the cup, or done in pride instead of in love. That is the oldness of the letter, and now in Christ is the newness of the Spirit. Married to him. As we said last week, that we need to eat of his body and drink of his blood. That's another way of describing that new life in Christ. And that's where the marriage actually begins. When we come to eat of him, when we're able to do that, when we see that we have been guilty by the law, as Paul said here, alive without the law once, and the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Another way that that's described is by Paul when he writes to the Galatians that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law taught us our sin, then the need of Christ, and the blessing of Christ as well. As Paul said earlier in the third chapter, according to the law and the gospel, the law and the prophets, that tells us of the message of Christ dying for our sins, rising again according to the Scriptures. Yes, the Scriptures tell us of it from beginning to end. Told Adam, told Abraham, told David, and Paul here learned it as well. And we think of the time when Paul learned it. He learned it both as we read it here. He learned it also as we read from the early part of the sixth chapter, buried with him in baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Paul was told by one that Christ sent to him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul did that. So he knew what he was describing here, writing to the church at Rome, that he himself had experienced that probably some 25 years earlier. And that was his beginning, as well as the way he describes here in the seventh chapter, "I had not known sin, but by the law." And when he knew the sin by the law, died. And baptism showed that. Buried with him in baptism. Buried. We read that twice. We read it in the sixth chapter here. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." We read that same statement when Paul writes to the Colossians and states that they were circumcised in the heart, which was the new birth. And then he says, "In putting off the body of sins by the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ," which is being born again, regenerated, "and then buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." How has that taken place? Buried in the water, down, cannot see the person, as if he's dead, buried. And then he's lifted up, picturing the new life in Christ. As I often said, the things that we must know and do are pictured in two ways in Scripture. One is the plain words teaching, and then the example. Luke tells it in the book of Acts, where I just quoted from Ananias when he said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins." Paul was told that. We may believe he did it, as he described it here, and experienced it himself, And we have many other times. We have Paul referring to it here. We have Paul referring to it in a lesser way to the Corinthians. Then we have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. They both went down into the water, and they came up out of the water after the eunuch said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he gave the reason. Philip made it plain. "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." May anyone do it otherwise than that? If thou believest. Christ made that plain too just before he left this earth, after he rose, that the gospel should be preached to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." All of that is in Scripture. All of that is God's teaching, sometimes from God himself, sometimes through the prophets. As Paul said, writing to the Hebrews, that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And here we have the words given by Paul. Paul, whom Christ said, "He is my witness." And when Paul talked to King Agrippa, he said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And he's not. He gives the whole message. He gives the message plainly, the wonderful message of salvation. He said it so plain to the Philippian jailer when he said, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And shortly after that, we read, he preached the word of God to all that was in his house. They all believed. They all rejoiced. They all were baptized. All. We sometimes call that a household baptism. I would say that was a believer baptism, because they all heard the word. They all believed it. They all rejoiced. They all were baptized. All things. So often we want to do it all and have it all, but not with all things of Scripture. We leave some out. Put tradition in instead. Like Christ said when he was here on earth, "You make void the commandments of God by your tradition." When we think of this here, Paul's letter, plain, to the Romans, he said of them, "Wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." That was their experience. They no longer had any hope in the law. I may have referred to that before, but the 10th chapter tells us, they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to God's righteousness. The Jews thought they were right by the law. They thought they kept the law. Paul said it of himself when he wrote to the Philippians, "According to the law, blameless." And here he found, according to the law, guilty. So guilty. I died. Died. Sin revived and I died. That happened during those 3 days and 3 nights that he was there, blind, until one came and opened his eyes and gave him that command that I just mentioned, to be baptized, to wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He is referring here, evidently, to that experience. Some want to say, well, he was saved on the Damascus Road. No. He was told on the Damascus Road what to do, where to go, and it would be told him. That was the first step. Have you taken that first step? Listen to God what you had to do? I just heard the other day, people say, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. True. If it's done God's way. Paul said it plainly in Romans 10. We'll come to that later. But then he says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I would stop right here and tell us and myself and you, let's do what Christ said. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. Many places in our country here that people do not have the truth anymore in the churches. Many young people leaving. It's a terrible situation, a terrible one. And so many different things wrong as well as things right. The things wrong also have to be recognized and repented of. And I'm afraid in the church we're prone to forget the things that are wrong. The things that have been wrong for years and years and years and years. The theory of evolution. The lie of evolution. It's been here for years. It was there when one of the politicians, same time as Abraham Lincoln, said that if people believe that, then they will no longer know their responsibility to God. There's no creator. He says they also will lose their morality. What he said there in the 1800s is fulfilled now, in our time. People aren't responsible. It's all gimme, gimme, gimme. I'll vote for the one who will gimme. Do you know that if everybody says that, there's not going to be anything to give? We'll all be bankrupt? As some said, the new way says they want to lead us in from our government. There's a vision. But you know what the vision is? Vanity. Emptiness. That's what the vision was in Russia. That's what the vision was in China. That's what the vision is in Venezuela. And there are people who want us to go that way, to lose the blessed faith of our fathers, who denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed Christ for His glory, for God's glory, and for the good of their children. And sadly, through the generations, we have moved away from the faith of our fathers. We need the church to go back to the truth and be a salt and a light again. And not only with evolution. We need to do it as well with marriages. We've gone, in my lifetime, earlier in my life, one divorce and seven. Now it's one and two. All these broken homes and broken-hearted children. Yes, that's what it is. They call it mental health. It's broken-hearted children, troubled, angry. Some don't want to live, have taken their lives. That's where we are. Do we think about it? I've mentioned it before. We think about it in lightness, and we make lies. We don't believe what I just read here, that so long while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Hardly anybody in the church wants to believe that. I mentioned before, one said, well, Paul didn't think about the sexual sin. That would allow divorce. Another one said, well, if there is a sexual sin, that's the same as being dead. They excuse the scripture away to get their own tradition. And tradition, what has it done? What has it done to our homes? Made them better, happier, more true to God? Why are our children leaving the church? Because the church has left God. I say the church has left God. The fathers and the children leave the church. And what do we have left? Guilt, without knowing it. And we didn't know it like David did in the song and do what he did. The second stanza, my transgressions I confess. Grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just. Speechless I thy mercy trust. Judgment just. Fire in the west. Wind in the west. Tornadoes. Hurricanes in the south. Yes, we still have blessings some places, and how thankful we can be. But God's judgment is increasing. Someone has said in these last years we've had more judgment in the last 10 years than we had 100 years before that. Judgment is increasing. Blessing is lessening. God said it in Deuteronomy 28, the first part of it. If you obey, you'll be blessed in every place. If you disobey, you'll be cursed in every place, and that's beginning to take place, more and more. One answer is, as Paul had for himself, what shall we say then? I have not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. I mentioned a little while ago, it's all gimme, gimme, gimme. People are covetous. Give me free education. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. Somebody has to pay for it. And they want it from others. But Paul said, that's sin. I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And that law stands there today for us, whether we believe it or not. It's up there in the Supreme Court. And I fear how many how soon they want to deface it and change it as they're doing in other things. But even if they do, the law of God will stand. He has given it, and everyone will know it's there on the day of judgment if we don't learn it in the way Paul did here. I had not known sin but by the law. Yes, the law of God is still there. There are those, I know earlier in my lifetime, they said, oh, free from the law, no law but Christ. Christ said, I came not to destroy the law but to fulfill it. And before we know that he will fulfill it for us in a needed way, that we go to that cross and eat of his body and drink of his blood, we will know our guilt by the law. The holy law. The good law. Just and good, Paul says. 14th verse. Going ahead a little bit. For we know that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul knew that of himself. We don't know it today. We don't know we're carnal. We're fleshly. We're foolish. We're wicked. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we don't have fear of the Lord. We have the opposite of wisdom. So foolish, foolish, foolish. In the church, seminaries, so-called Christian schools, all teaching evolution, teaching the lie of the world being billions of years old. And some people even say, oh, yes, well, they say they can measure. How will they measure? How will they measure billions of years? Who's there to prove it? It's simply a lie because we have the order from creation. We have all the names of the people who lived from Adam to Christ through those 4,000 years. And we know the history of time. Right now, we're in the year of our Lord, 2020. Accurate time. The Scripture gives it rightly. Part of God's holy word. His holy word, including the law and the gospel. The law to show us God's holiness. The law to show us our sin and unholiness. That we learn like Abraham did. Abraham believed in him who justified the ungodly. Have you learned your place before the holy God in that way? He holy, he God, you unholy, ungodly, ungodly. In the gospel as well as the law. That's repentance. That's the thinking without the doing. And if that thinking is right, it'll lead us to the doing in repentance. And then that wonderful way of faith in Christ. As Paul said, after Christ is revealed, we are no longer under the law, but in Christ, married to him who paid the price of the holy law of God. David said, I am evil, born in sin. If we go to the psalm itself, and sin did my mother conceive me. Born sinners. That's why we must be born again. The new birth, dying to self, new life in Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise